In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning's gospel opens with the disciples looking for Jesus. And that's just what we're doing here this morning, looking for Jesus. But Jesus can be difficult to see, not simply because this is an ancient story and we are all very modern, up-to-date people. Not simply because we're people who have limited vision. Jesus can be difficult to see because Jesus is Jesus. John's gospel is full of these I am statements by Jesus. I am, ego eimi in Greek. I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. I am the door. And this is as it should be, for we are all here this morning in an attempt to encounter Jesus. We're trying to figure out who Jesus is. And of course, that's what I like about John's gospel. Here, Jesus comes forth and tells us up front who he is. Now, you all know, having been together with me as rector for so long, that, of course, I am first and foremost an English major. So let me speak to you for a moment in the language of English majors. In John's gospel this morning, Jesus is speaking in metaphor. He does not define himself saying, I am the Messiah, which means I'm sort of a political official, or I am the savior of the world, or I am the third person of the Trinity, which means I'm a member of the unified Godhead. Rather, Jesus says, I am bread. Jesus breaks into poetry because only poetry can bear the weight and depth of the mystery of what he's trying to tell us. I am bread is a metaphor which literally means that it's an image meant to shed light on something. A metaphor does not simply try to explain or define, but also expands our understanding. A metaphor is not simply a fancy artistic way of saying something we could have just as well said more economically in another way. Metaphor like, I am bread, says something in a way that is, in fact, irreplaceable. So when the crowd around him breaks into debate over what sort of bread from heaven Jesus means, for only God can give bread from heaven, Jesus says directly as you can get when you're speaking in metaphor, I am bread. He doesn't say it in a mere simile. I am somewhat like manna sent down from heaven that Moses gave you. He says, I am bread. Feed on this bread and you'll never be hungry again. Feed on this bread and you will be raised up. I, as your priest, might say, I'm caring. I'm a loving servant of God and want to serve you, but I would never say, I am bread. I might say, especially during a vestry meeting, follow me or listen to me. But I would never say, as Jesus says here, feed on me. That is way too intimate, too engaging, too involved. Note here that Jesus didn't say, think about me, or watch me, or learn from me. He said, feed on me, I am bread. That is the great mystery of the incarnation, that Jesus is first and foremost a person, and as a person, he offers himself to us as something equally concrete. He offers himself to us as bread. The great 20th century German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "The body of Christ takes up space. That is, the body of Christ makes footprints." Bonhoeffer goes on to say, "A truth, a doctrine, a religion needs no space. They are disembodied amputees, as it were. That's all. But the incarnate Christ needs not only ears or a heart, but living people who will follow him. Which means that Christianity is not so much a doctrine or an idea or an encounter with something. It is an encounter with someone. Today's gospel implies that to meet Jesus is similar to meeting a loaf of bread. Christianity, therefore, is never something of the head or the heart, a vague general abstraction. Jesus takes up room among us. Jesus takes up room inside us, in our stomachs. The living Christ is always intruding, going where he's not necessarily wanted or expected, taking up space where people did not expect God to be. Jesus intrudes into the homes of sinners. He shows up at weddings and causes a scene. He comes into places of death where people were hardly expecting him. And maybe that's one reason why we try and keep religion theoretical and spiritual. But you see, Christianity is not a spiritual religion. Because of the incarnation, Christianity is materialistic. Our faith believes that God has a body, God takes up space, God does not remain ethereal and vague. The Gospel of John opens with the declaration, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus becomes a fact, an undeniable fact that has to be dealt with and encountered. I think of Anne Lamott's story of her conversion in her wonderful book, Traveling Mercies. Anne was a person in great despair and need, in the depths of alcoholism and drug addiction, recovering from an abortion, and in her stupor and misery, she looks up and there is Christ standing beside her, watching her, ready to pounce upon her, as it were. Which leads me to suggest that Jesus not only takes up space, but that Jesus shows up in the worst, most desperate of our places. Christ becomes bread, life-giving bread for the worst of our hungers. A parishioner told me about a mission trip he once took to Haiti. The mission team had spent a couple of weeks working among desperately poor people in this poorest of countries in the Western Hemisphere. One afternoon, he and his team were piled into a little truck with two great pots of rice and sent out to a desert-like place to desperately poor people who lived in a tiny group of cardboard huts beside a dry riverbed. Their job was to offer these people food. As they drove up, dozens of people ran toward the truck. He was struck that some of them were naked. All of them were starving. They frantically pushed in, thrusting little bowls towards the team. And in a hectic 5 minutes, they emptied over 200 pounds of cooked rice. And then the people of the village fell silent and moved back to their huts, and the truck drove away. He said he could never get that sight out of his mind, to stare starvation in the face, to see what bread means to hungering persons, is to know how truly radical Jesus' statement is, "I am bread." The mystery of hunger, the fulfilling nature of bread, Jesus, in attempting to reveal himself to us, draws upon that mystery, telling us, "I am the bread of life." Can it be that behind the well-fed faces who look back at me this morning, there is a great unfulfilled hunger? Hunger is usually outwardly invisible. Only you know if your stomach's empty. Or perhaps there's someone here who is living the expression, "I'm hungry, but I don't know what I want to eat." You feel empty, you rush about, grabbing at this experience or that one, buying this, going here, going there, but never really feeling fulfilled. You've been eating, but you've been trying to live by eating the bread of death rather than the bread of life. I expect there's someone here who's feeling tired, very tired, not just because you skipped breakfast this morning, but because you haven't received nourishment in a long time. We live in a culture of junk food and drive-through dining. You've been eating, but you haven't eaten what your life needs most. You need some real nourishment. Well, you come here on Sundays. You hear these stories about Jesus, you sing some hymns, and you hear Jesus say, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry." And that's what I say to you when I give you bread at the communion rail, the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Yes, it looks like bread, but this morning Jesus says, take a closer look. And as someone said in Galilee that day, "Lord, give us this bread evermore. Amen."